Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as I've said many times over the last several years. She joins us now to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back. We got, it's not breaking news anymore, Joan, but it is news that we can report on just a little bit, and that's the death as succumbing to brain cancer of the liberal lion of the Senate, Senator Ted Kennedy.
That's right.
And he was the baby of the Klan. They've had a tough month, haven't they?
They sure have, because his sister passed away just very recently.
Just a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago at the most. And now him, and, you know, having seen in my own parents' families, you know, my mother's the last of her family. I have one aunt that's of my dad's side, the last of seven. You know, it's in the generation, and that's how it goes. But Ted Kennedy was for almost 50 years. He was a major force in the Senate, wasn't he, Joan?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you think about the things that he had his hand on. I heard that he sponsored 2,500 legislation.
Wow.
Bills. Pieces of legislation, and Joan, unlike many people, who what they sponsored was, you know, maybe not nobody would remember. I mean, he was involved in the Civil Rights Act, OSHA.
Oh, that's right.
The Family Medical Leave Act, the American for Disabilities Act,
right?
Minimum wage, on and on. Did I say OSHA? I mean, the things that he was involved in were momentous decisions and momentous legislation, and whether you agreed with his politics or not, which I mostly didn't,
right?
You have to respect and the zeal. This is a man born to the manor,
yep.
And he could have done nothing, but
sat back and done nothing,
He had a. I admire. He and I completely were on opposite ends of the spectrum, because I'm a creature of the marketplace, and he was not. He was not a great respecter of the marketplace, in my opinion. But Joan, he you got to admire anybody with the courage of those convictions.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And he is the last Kennedy brother, and I think there's only one Kennedy sibling left.
I've forgotten.
Gene.
Okay. All right.
I don't think there are any others left.
Yeah. I was thinking he was the last, but maybe the last of the brothers. But anyway, it's our best wishes and condolences go out to his family. Joan, let's move over and talk about the letter this week. Cybercrime is the top of the story, isn't it?
Yes.
And tell us about what Kiplinger has to say about that.
Well, we're telling people they need to be careful. If you may think that you're protected, but you may not be. And we say it's not just the big guys that get targeted by organized crime syndicates, you know, in terms of stealing a competitor's information. We say every company is a potential victim. And we even say that you might have been hit but don't even know it, which is interesting.
If there is there's a way to do this, I don't remember how to do it, but there's a way to... I think there even is maybe a little some kind of a freeware out there,
mm-hmm.
but certainly the techies, the nerds can help you with this.
Yeah.
There's a way of observing how many times any computer on any given minute, on any desk anywhere in the world, gets pinged by somebody who wants to do you harm.
Oh, really?
It would shock you. It would shock you.
I think it would, yeah.
I mean, these guys, and many of them now, most of them are now operating in other parts of the world, in other hemispheres.
Yeah.
Russia, places like that, Eastern Europe, probably China. These are, you know, out in the wild, wild, this is clearly the wild, wild west instead of the World Wide Web, and of cyberspace. And Joan, they've got these devices that just go out and just in seconds ping thousands of computers to see if they can get in.
Right.
And if you let your guard down at all, if you have any kind of a lapse in security, they're not going to go to a lot of trouble to get in because they don't have to. They're just looking for some little chink in somebody's armor to allow them to get in to automate this.
Right.
And Joan, did you know that this is the last statistic I saw? I did some work with IBM on this a couple of years ago. And at that time, the number was like $86 billion industry, cyber crime.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which combines, it combines not only your own information, but your identity.
Right.
But Joe, you know, one of the things is the phishing. You know, you're familiar with, you know what phishing is?
Yes, I think so.
P-H-I-S-H.
It's not just a rod and reel.
No. Phishing is where you think it's somebody that you can trust to send you an email, but it turns out it's not. For example, if you do business with a bank, and or you get an email from any bank that says, oh my God, you know, you need to click here because we've got a problem with your account.
Right.
You know, or whatever, and they're very clever.
Right. Oh,
you
yeah.
You click on that, well, you've let them in.
Yes.
And but it's not even just and so what happens though, Joan? If they get in, they very quietly in the background are capable of making your computer the host to distribute their other phishing messages.
Oh no!
See, so when they when the FBI or whoever traces back phishing activity, it doesn't go to them in Russia; it goes to you in Sheboygan. Or Peoria,
yeah,
or Alexandria, wherever
right.
you are,
right.
And so you get a knock on the door. Hey, we got a problem with your computer. What have you been up to? And you say,
you
what
say
are you talking
nothing?
About? And, you know, Grandma answers the door and says, I just talked to my grandchild on Skype. You know, and that's what happens because she says, security? What security? I lock my door.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens.
Right. Wow.
So, you know, it's happened probably in your life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah.
That you're going to get hit. We've been hit before.
Wow.
It just happens. And but you guys talk about that. See, a lot of people think, Joan, in the old days, the cyber bad guys would try to go in and just kind of kill your computer. They were just malicious. They just wanted to go in and, you know, you'd get the virus and it was fun, and for the malcontents, they could shut down thousands of computers with this virus.
They just did it because they could.
Just because they could. And then somebody said, wait a minute, hey guys, why don't we make some money off of this? So that's where the deal is right now, folks. Very subtle, very sinister. Quick break. Right back with more after these messages. Joan Pride is our guest. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. We got lots of stuff there you can read. You can listen to past interviews. You can read articles I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. Thousands of each one of those, folks. You can ask questions on our knowledge base, askjim.biz, which is right off the homepage. You can check out my blog. You can subscribe to my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. So check all that out and make yourself right at home. It's all free. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blessingame. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you guys have an outstanding report on cybercrime. And one of the things you talk about there that a lot of people don't think about is the popular targets, some of the charities and those kinds of organizations.
Right.
And you know, and one of the big myths is people think when they think about the them being a victim of something like this. For a long time, I think people thought, well, I'm just a little small business. You know, nobody wants to know what I do, so, you know, what's the big deal? And, folks, you're right, but in those days, it was just people who wanted to just to shut you down because they could.
Right.
Just go in and bomb your and you know, reformat your hard drive, and you'd be out of business.
Right.
And so that's, as I said earlier, that's morphed into how can we make money out of this? And now they are making a lot of money out of it. And of course, you got so many. You don't have as many newbies using computers now as you used to have. You know, people who've never used it. And most computers now come with a security system installed on them.
That's true.
But you got to renew the subscription,
you
Joan.
You bet.
You got to renew that. You got to keep up with that.
Yep.
And now here's an interesting thing about this, Joan, is for small businesses, for growing small businesses, the more PCs you have in your operation, every one of those have to have their own security software.
Each hard drive.
Each one of them.
Yes.
Each computer does.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that means you've got that many subscriptions.
Yep.
And that many expiration dates that somebody has to keep up with.
That's right.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, folks, if your subscription expires in 1 hour, you will have been pinged by probably hundreds of times by these bad guys. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing how many times they'll try to get in there, and you don't have to have a lot of protection. You just got to have something, some kind of an electronic firewall, and a mechanical firewall. A router can be a mechanical firewall, because they'll run away. They won't even try to get into places that have any resistance, because it's low percentage for them.
Well, and they have enough other. I mean, there's millions of places they
exactly.
can try.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, and they're going to be with us for a long time, because, Joan, the rest of the world, you know, the third world countries are just now coming into the computer age.
That's right.
And so they got lots of places they can go. And, you know, one of the things, though, I'll point out that for small business owners, the more, as you're growing,
yeah.
consider using a server-based environment as opposed to being peer-to-peer, where you have all PCs on the desk. Consider operating off of a server in your operation, and that way you've got all your information in one place, and you got one expiration date. You can have one security system. You see what I mean? So that's
right.
That's one of the just a little tip there on the cybersecurity thing. That's I think what people should consider. Joan, let's move over and talk about the economy.
Okay.
Big news there on the monetary side, right, this week?
In terms of the savings rate?
No, in terms of the big guy.
The dollar?
The big guy.
The dollar will bounce around
General
a while
Ben,
longer.
Work with me, Joan.
Okay.
Bernanke.
Oh, you mean said on the monetary side.
On the monetary side,
yeah.
that's where they are.
You mean the Federal Reserve side, yeah.
Okay, but he's in charge of monetary policy is the reason I said that.
Well, that's
anyway,
true.
Anyway, Ben Bernanke, tell us what happened.
Yes. Well, he's been reappointed by President Obama.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
he has been. And were you surprised?
Not really, no. I mean, just because they've been talking about it for a while, there's been lots
yeah.
of hints.
Well, there have been, and many people thought that maybe he would put Larry Summers in, who's one of his economic advisors.
Yeah.
I think this was a pragmatic move, Joan.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I don't know that we can think that Mr. Obama really wants this Bush appointee to stay, but I think that of all, with all the things that are in turmoil right now, he didn't need another transition right now. We don't need.
Yeah, and that's happened with a lot of presidents. They end up getting stuck with a Fed chairman that they didn't really want, but they know that the markets will go nuts if they get rid of him, so they keep him around for stability's sake.
The last thing Mr. Obama wanted to do right now was to test the waters on changing this particular, because even people who don't like Mr. Bernanke, Chairman Bernanke, he is, as the saying goes, the devil we know, as
right.
opposed to the devil we don't know. Now, I personally, you know, I don't know that anybody else would be any better or worse than Bernanke, but I think that's what it was. I mean, we just don't need the uncertainty of a new Fed administration.
Right.
Right now, I mean, this would definitely be changing horses in the middle of the stream, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
So that was probably a very pragmatic, very prudent decision by the president. When we come back, I'm gonna ask Joan, is consumer spending ever gonna come back? She'll have the answer. 29 after. Stay with us.
I don't care where it goes. inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for being part of my day, for spending some time with us. We got some good stuff for you still lined up straight ahead with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, one of the things you guys reported on is the savings rate this month. You tried to get it out last time, but I wouldn't let you. So I want to talk about Bernanke.
Okay.
So even though he's not
when
on
you
the
said
letter.
Let's move over to page two. I'm looking for it, and I can't find it.
Oh, after 500 shows, you'd think she'd read my
you'd
mind
think
by
I
now.
Know,
hey, Joan,
no.
What about the savings rate? You can work on that, can't you?
Okay, this I can do. We're saying it's even though we've talked about the savings rate going up, we say it's not going to go that much higher in the next few months. And you know, this is interesting. We have a statistic here that in the early 70s and 80s, the savings rate was 9% to 12%.
Yep.
Which was
pretty good.
Now I don't know what 12% of what. I don't know if they mean of GDP or
probably
or what.
Probably of income, I would think.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that. But mm-hmm. Anyway, we're saying that the real low point was 1.2%. So we're saying it could get around 7%, which or 10%, which wouldn't be bad.
Right. Well, the savings rate has an interesting impact on the economy, doesn't it?
Well, you know, if you're saving, you're not spending.
Exactly. And so let's think about, let's just put a few things together, a few facts together. When we talk about what's the economy going to do, how long is it going to take to get out of this trough that we're in, I think it makes sense to put a couple of facts together.
Sure.
Number one, we got virtually double-digit unemployment.
Right.
We anticipate a jobless recovery. We got much less credit available today and then probably in the near future than we've ever had in my lifetime.
Right.
We've got consumers who have changed their ways of doing business.
Yeah.
Never mind the savings rate.
Right.
You know, there's an attitude difference. And then you've got the savings issue.
Yes.
And so that's five gotchas, Joan.
That's a lot.
Five gotchas that are influencing what previously had been 70% of the U.S. economy.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm saying is you need to realize those five things have got to make, there's got to be some adjustments there. If for consumers to come back to the marketplace, we've got to get them jobs.
Right.
We're probably going to have to free up credit a little bit.
Right.
We're going to have to change, their attitude's going to have to be, and their attitudes will change a little bit because of pent-up demand, right?
Well, exactly,
I mean,
yeah.
Eventually you're going to want a new jet, Joan. I mean, that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, I wish.
And then the other things, you know, I mean, those are things that influence 70% of the economy.
Right.
And right now, they're not boding well for the economy, are they?
Well, that's true, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. So folks, these are, you know, I hate talking about these. I hate reporting on those things because
yeah.
they're negative things. But we have to call it like it is.
That's true.
And so as I'm trying to help small business owners plan for the holiday season, for example, you know, what's it going to look like this Christmas? I hope we're wrong. I hope we look back and say, holy mackerel, where did all this come from?
Right.
But Joan, it's, you know, the numbers are not stacked in favor of that.
Right.
So folks, trust in God, but keep your powder dry. I mean, be hopeful and optimistic as you always are, but be judicious and deliberate and disciplined in the way you approach your plans. And I have to say this again, Joan, operate for survival this year. Still need to do that, but plan for success, and that means keeping control of your finances, but also keep an eye on the horizon for opportunities.
Right.
So, Joan, the interest rate hike. What do you guys say about that? possible?
Well, we're saying no interest rate hike until late in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's even possible that the Fed could wait until 2011.
It's going to be.
You know, the whole point is, right now, we think inflation is pretty well tamed. And as long as the Fed continues to see that, it's not going to feel anxious about raising rates.
Pricing power, which is one of the elements of inflation by businesses, is non-existent right now.
It ain't there. Yeah.
In fact, if you look at the at some of the various surveys that we do over in every month, folks, more companies are still lowering rates than that are raising prices. So pricing power is not there. That's the big inflator, and some of the big inflators plus commodities. We'll take a quick break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joe Pride is our guest. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. That's Steely Dan bringing us back. That's Hey 19, I think, is the name of that song. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. No barriers to entry at all. Everything there is free thanks to my organization and our corporate partners, which we hope you'll say thanks to by giving them a shot at your business at least. And, of course, you can read articles to your little heart's content. These are things that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written, and my Brain Trust members have written thousands, actually, of those. Thousands of past interviews we've done with our vast 1,500-plus member Brain Trust, the largest community of small business experts on the planet. You can ask questions. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out my blog. Lots of stuff there. And a new look, too. I hope, if you haven't been there lately, I hope you'll go check it out. It looks different. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest, and their website is outstanding, the Kiplinger Letter, which is you can find there at kiplinger.com. That's the weekly flagship, which has an 86th birthday coming up next month, Joan.
Wow.
86. Still family-owned, still a small business, really.
Yep.
And we admire the heck out of this American family-owned, third-generation small business. And of course, they've got several publications. As I said, the Kiplinger Letter, the three biweekly letters, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter. Right, Joan?
Yes, that's right.
Those three, and then that magazine thing.
That's right. That magazine thing is called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's available on newsstands. You can subscribe on the website. And folks, the website's outstanding, just like it is. But if you want a little bit more, maybe a lot more, you can become a subscriber. And don't forget that 30-day free trial that they offer. That I worked hard to negotiate for you, folks. Joan, let's move down and talk about the car. You know, the auto dealers, automakers have been in the news for over a year now. And you guys say that they're going to be more encouraged about next year. And tell us why.
Well, we say that showroom traffic is picking up, but it's not just because of the Cash for Clunkers program, which just ended on Monday. There's new and redesigned models, and they just think that people are going to be coming into the showroom.
The Chevy Camaro looks like a Mustang. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
The new Camaros look like a beefed up like a Mustang that's on steroids or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too.
They
I mean, sort of without any sense of embarrassment, GM knocked off the Mustang. I thought that was kind of interesting, but you say there's pent up demand and there could be 12 million vehicles sold in 2010. Joan, that's a lot. What are we? We're under 10 now, aren't we? Like around 9 or something like that?
Right, and that's with the help from Clunkers.
Yeah. But this Clunker thing, though, Joan, was not, you know, I don't know. It hurt a lot of people as well. And this Cash for Clunkers thing is a classic example of the government doing something thinking that what they were looking at was monofaceted when the issue was multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. So who did it hurt?
Well, it hurt, all right, I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
All these cars that were clunkers, meaning that they were, you know, just a little bit older and, you know, who knows how old they were, 10, 15 years, those cars are used by people who buy them from the dealers, who clean them up, get them refurbished, and sell them and finance them to people who can't get a loan anywhere else and need transportation. And now that inventory, Joan, is gone from those
right.
people. So there are single mothers out there who depended upon people that I know who are in this business to be able to provide them with an automobile and charge them $75 a week payment or $50 a week payment. The people, you know, they're living hand to mouth and they only have weekly income, and so they literally finance and give them transportation in a way that they can afford. And now those guys, they're calling me saying, "I have no inventory, Jim. This cash for clunker thing is killing me and my customers."
Yeah.
So this is a perfect example, Joan, of a government thinking that when the government looks at things, they see only one issue. They don't see the counterparties, which is a perfect segue, Joan, over into the financial services thing. They don't call me the king of segue for nothing.
Well, no, but a quick question. Should they not have done the program, do you think? Or should they have done it a different way?
I think the
way,
government should stay out of the marketplace.
Uh-huh.
Pardon me for my zeal here, but
right.
the government should stay out of the marketplace. Let the marketplace take care of itself.
So you think it was not a good thing that all those cars were sold?
Exactly. That's exactly what I
interesting.
Think.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't think they should have. I think they should. I just, you know, I don't think the government should pick winners and losers, Joan. That's what they did. They picked winners and losers.
Mm.
And I just think it's a mistake. And they, in my opinion, the government has a balance sheet and their liabilities often exceed their assets and the things that they do. And I think I'm just a very, right now I'm very, very down on politicians, in case you hadn't noticed. But back to my segue, Joan. I was trying really hard to make a really cool segue.
Yeah.
You guys report on page 3 of the financial services industry that there's, what is this about being too big to fail?
Well,
how big is too big?
That's the big question. The big question is, how big is too big to fail? And that's something that I think Congress has been struggling with for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
determining who to bail out and who not to bail out, because they let Lehman Brothers go, but they didn't let AIG go.
Right. And so they're going to try to get in there and build some regulations around that. And I think they're not qualified, Joan. I do think that you know, the problem with, I think they, as I may have said this last week, that what they looked around, they said, okay, Lehman Brothers counterparties, the people they do business with, we can identify them easier than AIG. AIG's, you know, has their businesses metastasized all over the world, and we don't know how bad that's going to get, so we better save those guys, and that's what they did. Quick break, Tintel, stay with us.
But no one can tell.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being part of our day. And you're going to be glad you did, because we're still continuing to visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, two different attitudes completely about antitrust, the Republicans as opposed to the Democrats, right?
Yes.
Mr. Bush's administration didn't find as much antitrust demons in the marketplace. And his administration behaved that way. Mr. Obama's administration, not so much, right?
Correct.
Tell us
about it. We say that the new antitrust sheriff is off to an aggressive start.
There's a new sheriff in town.
There is.
What is she doing?
I'll tell you. They're asking more questions about mergers and acquisitions, and also about competitive practices and pricing practices.
Mm-hmm. Here's the fundamental issue, and you guys reported on that this week, Joan, and that is, does a merger or an acquisition hurt consumers? To the Republican way of thinking, to the for example, Mr. Bush and most of his predecessors' way of thinking, if consumers aren't harmed, then that's really the first threshold, the main threshold.
Right.
But Democrats don't feel the same way, do they?
Well, you know, I think they're more concerned about, give me a second now,
okay,
work
right.
with me here.
All
you
right.
know, I think they're more concerned about what the negative effects might be.
Well, yeah, they take a more multifaceted look. They finally do take are more multifaceted about any trade, and I just think they see any trade communists under more beds than the Republicans do. You know, any trade demons, potential demons.
Yeah.
Under the bed, and I think that's part of it. And folks, this is just if you ever want to identify, you know, from the marketplace standpoint, what is one of the differences between Democrats and Republicans? You know, Republicans are more merger friendly than Democrats. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Joan, let's move over and another thing that we'll find the difference between the two parties is they have a different attitude about regulation. And tell us about what you guys report on OSHA. There's some new stuff going on in OSHA there.
Well, there is legislation in Congress that would expand OSHA's powers and would make it a felony if a firm's repeated violations of OSHA regulations led to the death of a worker. And then there's other parts to that. However, we don't think that legislation is going to make it because lawmakers will find it a little too draconian.
Well, I mean, if a company continues to violate a law and somebody dies, I mean, I don't know, I guess maybe not a felony, I don't know what the deal is, but I mean, that's pretty serious. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, that's somebody should be punished for something like that. I agree with that. But so the main thing I think there is folks expect in this new administration to see more of a heavy hand in other issues mm-hmm. from OSHA, because this is an area that the Democrats like to work with. Joan, the wireless, ubiquitous, global, national, seamless wireless zones across America, is that coming to a town near you?
Well, we say that cities are moving very slowly, and there's apparently opposition from private internet providers because they're concerned about the competition.
See, this is a debate that's been going on for some time, Joan.
Yeah.
Cities have lost some of their control over utilities.
Yeah.
Because of the deregulation of electricity.
Right.
And so they've been trying to find out how can they become more relevant. And one of the ways they've been trying to do that is to provide wireless connectivity and to bill people for that on their electricity bills.
Right.
And so they've been trying to they're talking about using the stimulus package, the stimulus money they're getting to do this. See?
Yeah.
And people who provide that privately, that's competing with them.
Right.
And there are a lot of arguments to be made on both sides of the aisle, Joan. One of the things is that typically, when I've observed this happening, the cities don't have a clue as to what they're doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, they're just, all they're trying to do is grab some relevance. They don't really know anything about technology. I'm serious,
I believe you.
I mean, I've seen this happen and fail.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big concerns you've got with this. But look for this to happen, folks. Wireless connectivity is coming to a town near you, and it's going to be driven a lot by the stimulus package. This is one way, Joan, that the stimulus package is going to manifest in something you can see.
Right.
And it may not just be municipal. There may be some private opportunities in there, too. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.